their seats so we can proceed with our commission meeting. Okay, I'd like to call the commission meeting to order for Wednesday, March 24th, of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, and first begin by asking the secretary to confirm the quorum.
We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you very much. The chair's report, I have nothing to report as the chair, other than the fact that I am in the tradition of commission chairs. I look forward to over the next year or so making a visit to each one of the counties in the congestion management agency board. So I will be in touch with all of you and your staff over the next few months to set up those meetings. So I look forward to that. Our next item then is the Policy Advisory Council report, and we are pleased to have Randy Kinman here, who is a committee member, to give us the report. Thank you so much.
Good morning. My name is Naomi Armenta, and I'm a member of the Policy. No problem. I'm a member of the Policy Advisory Council and chair of the Equity and Access Committee. Dolly Sandoval and Egon Turplin were unavailable today and asked me to report. Randy and I switch off. The council considered a number of weighty items, including the draft Plan Bay Area document, the draft environmental impact report, the equity analysis, and the draft transportation improvement program, or TIP. Since that was a lot of information, the council plans to use its May meeting to continue to discuss the documents in more detail and formulate comments to bring back to the commission in May. However, some preliminary themes have emerged. The first is that we cannot have a meeting without discussing express lanes. There continues to be a desire to see direct benefit to transit from the express lanes. Examples include increasing potential revenue by not completing the outer regions of the network at this time, or ensuring that express lane bus stations are accommodated in the network. Another theme is innovative funding, such as the possibility of a sales tax on electricity at electric vehicle charging stations in line with the gas tax. And we continue to be invested in the way that you, we, and staff interact with the public. We need to provide information in a way the general public can understand, including the policies and assumptions behind the proposals. However, members did give positive feedback on the work MTC and ABAG staff have done on outreach and in crafting the documents related to Plan Bay Area. Members reminded each other of the need to assist MTC in getting the word out about the public hearings on the plan. Members also noted that proposals that could have a high impact on the overall goals of the plan, such as the VMT tax suggested in Alternative 5, may need some sort of sensitivity analysis. Regarding the equity analysis, council members who participated on the equity working group noted that the committee felt that doing this type of analysis at the county level might be beneficial in the future, as counties can be impacted in different ways. Our next meeting is scheduled for May 8th. Thank you, and I'm happy to attempt to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you very much for that report, and I appreciate you filling in and being here today. Are there any questions of the commission of the Advisory Council report? And I just wanted to take a moment to remind commissioners that staff is, we are recruiting for the next term for the Policy Advisory Council, and would encourage everyone to reach out in your local counties and communities to encourage people to volunteer. So thank you again. It's a really important council that gives us great advice. So we really appreciate your service, and thank you very much. Okay, now I will turn to the executive director for his report.
Madam Chair, I'm making the assumption you might have heard enough from me today, so sounds like a correct assumption. Happy to answer questions.
All right, are there any questions? Well, Mr. Executive Director, we appreciate all of your comments and hard work in this process, and really thank you very, very much. I know that we have our meetings, but you've got probably 10 times the time we're spending on these issues, so we appreciate your work. And moving then, commissioner comments. Are there any commissioner comments? Okay, if not, we'll move to the consent calendar. Would anyone like to remove any item from the consent calendar? Okay, moved by Commissioner Spearing, seconded by Commissioner Haggerty. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That carries unanimously. I would, with the pleasure of the, pleasure of the committee, I know that, I'm just going to get to 6-7. I know that Commissioner Haggerty, he has to leave in 10 minutes, so I wanted to know if there was any objection to the commission if we took the legislative committee first. Okay, then with that...
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is extremely great leadership. I appreciate it. The legislative committee met on April 12th and referred the following items to the commission. SB 391 DeSaunier, the bill will impose a $75 fee on recording of every real estate document, including those related to the sale of property, to provide ongoing funding to the support to support the development, acquisition, rehabilitation, and preservation of affordable homes of all kinds. I move support of SB 391.
Okay. Sir, second moved by Commissioner Haggerty, seconded by Commissioner Cortese. Is there any discussion? Okay, then all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Oh, I'm sorry, Commissioner Kinsey.
As well as here.
Oh.
I'm very supportive of this, but I want to just be clear. This is excluding, did Commissioner Haggerty say excluding the sale of homes?
I did say, hope I said excluding.
It does.
Okay, yeah.
You know what, now that I think back, I might have said including.
That's what I thought heard, and I just wanted to clarify that.
I appreciate that clarification.
It's important because that was a major change that the senator made to try to give this bill a second chance for passage against, I think, what will still be an onslaught of opposition from the real estate community.
Thank you. I thought nobody listened to my report. I appreciate that.
They do, Scott. All right. Commissioner Luce?
Madam Chair, I'll be voting opposed as I just don't see the nexus between recording your documents and having to pay for affordable housing.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments? All right, then. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Then that is passed. Our next item?
AB 179, this bill would apply new restrictions to the retention and sharing of account information for electronic transit fare collection systems such as Clipper, as well as electronic toll collection systems such as FastTrack. I move to oppose AB 179 unless it is amended to, 1, revise the time frame in AB 179 from 6 months to 3 years, and 2, to revise the statute of limitations for claims relating to electronic toll collection system and transit smart card programs to 3 years.
Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by second by Commissioner McKenzie. First, we have a question, Scott Weiner, and then Commissioner McKenzie.
Thank you. Scott Weiner from San Francisco. I support the motion. I actually have a question, though. In the between our last meeting a couple weeks ago on this and today, I participated on a panel on bike sharing with the tech community. And one of the questions that arose was, everyone, we all support privacy and making sure that this information isn't misused. But in that context, and I'm sure there are other contexts as well, about making sure we're able to use data not associated with people's names, but data to be able to see where, for example, in with bike sharing, where people are using the bikes and picking them up and dropping them off, and other transit contexts, I'm sure it can be useful as well. And if I could just get maybe a response about whether that, to what extent that's part of the debate in Sacramento, understanding that there can be good uses for this data that doesn't implicate people's privacy.
Yeah, Commissioner, I think the operative words in the report are personally identifiable information.
Right.
So I think that's what the limits and the argument's about. And I don't believe the bill would deal with the planning information as long as it's aggregated.
Okay, so if it's aggregated, it can be kept indefinitely. It wouldn't have to be discarded.
I believe that's the case.
Okay, good. That I was confused about that, and thank you for the clarification. Okay.
Thank you. Commissioner McKenzie.
excuse me. Yes. Just a matter of process here. When I give the Operations Committee report, we'll be talking about the Clipper privacy policy, and there's a linkage which had been discussed at our committee meetings, and I'll be voting in favor of of the position enunciated by the chair of the legislative committee. Great. But there is a connection, and we'll be talking about it briefly in a wee minute. Thanks. Great.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion? Then all in favor? Aye. Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. And our okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair. The last one is SB 792. This bill would impose several new requirements on the Interagency Joint Policy Committee. I move to oppose SB 792. DeSaunier.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded by Commissioner Sperring. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Okay, thank you very much. Let's returning now to the Programming Allocations Committee. I'd like to turn it over to Chair Glover.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. The Program and Allocation Committee met on April 10th, and we have two items before you today for action. The first is NTC Resolution 3801 revised and 4094 revised. The RM2 program, excuse me. The RM2 program redirects $12.8 million in savings from I-80 eastbound high occupancy vehicle HOV lanes in Contra Costa County to two new projects in the same bridge corridor, the Regional Express Lane Network Project and I-80 San Pablo Dam Road Project in Contra Costa County allocates $7.4 million in RM2 funds. And for the right-of-way phase of I-80 San Pablo Dam Road project, the public hearing was conducted and no comments were received during the hearing or 30-day comment period. I move approval of MTC Resolution 3801 and revised and Resolution 4094.
Seconded by Commissioner Campos. Thank you. Is there any discussion? Okay. Again, I see no speaker cards. Oh, do I have Jerry, do you want to speak on this particular item?
Yeah.
Would you, about what? Okay. Could you please come forward now, and then you could offer, fill out the speaker card when you finish.
Sure. I don't know if he's on or not. This on? Oh, I didn't know. I wasn't sure it's on or not. About San Pablo Dam Road, most of the people know, and some people don't know, my name is Jerry Grace, and I live in San Pablo right now, and I love what's going on down there. And I love what's going on down there. And, that traffic is jammed all the time, 880. And I didn't know about that part of it because I'm learning more and more and learning more and more about that San Pablo Dam Road. The last few times that San Pablo Dam Road got shut down because too many stuff is happening and too many accidents happened down there. I love that down there. And I lived there once before, a long, long time ago, in 1991. But the bottom line is I learned more and more about down there. And too many freeway is a little confusing a lot of the people. But different road, go different way, you can go down. Not only San Pablo Dam Road, the other roads go the same route. But I bring it up you to know, I heard a few times on the news about that San Pablo Dam Road, and it shut down a few times and didn't try to fix it up. Caltrain would do a great job to fix that up, and if they do, it would be great for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jerry, for your comments. Now, I'll return it back to the commission. We have a motion on the table. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Right. Okay. Mr. Glover?
Thank you. Next is MTC Resolution 4072 revised would establish a formula for the distribution of a $12.5 million for the Transit Performance Incentive Program for the seven largest operators. The committee discussed and referred two alternatives to the commission for consideration without a recommendation. Alternative one was developed with the input of the Policy Advisory Commission and large transit operators with equal weight given to the existing ridership of two performance metrics. Alternative two was developed by the San Francisco Metropolitan Transportation Agency staff and presented to the large operators. This alternative places greater emphasis on existing ridership with more modest incentive program for productivity improvements. And then the third, the staff has offered an alternative three to further for further discussion. And I would like to, at this time, turn this over to Ann Fleming to provide a brief overview of the new alternative before the commission today.
Good morning, commissioners, and thank you. Just as a little bit of background, since this was just debated at the committee level, this program is a follow-on to the Transit Sustainability Project. The commission set aside $15 million a year for the next first year has already been allocated. There will be three additional years to reward operators for productivity improvements on their systems. One transition year has already been funded, and the allocation of the money you're talking about today would occur later this year. As already mentioned, there are two alternatives before the committee. After the committee meeting, staff did work on a third alternative. There was some discussion about the highs and lows that were being debated among the different operators and how the performance metrics affected the operators differently. The alternative and the dollar impact of that is included in your attachment A. Basically, what it does, it preserves the same metrics, but realigns the weights given to each factor, a little less to ridership, a little bit more to the other two factors of productivity. The committee also had talked a little bit about passenger miles being an added factor. After looking at different ways we would develop such a formula, we thought it was much simpler to keep the factors that are already available to and were discussed because the alternative three roughly results in the same outcome in terms of dollar impact. Finally, the committee did ask for some information about the context of this funding program relative to all the other funding that the commission has discretionary over for transit operations and capital, and that summary is provided in your attachment B, just to again, to support your discussions today.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Looking to the lights for commissioners who want to comment, Commissioner Tissier first, and then Commissioner Weiner and Commissioner Bates.
Okay. Yes, thank you. And thank you for going through this. You know, I had some concerns about going from what I considered one extreme to the other, so to speak, at our last meeting and making sure that, you know, all of the large operators, you know, had a reasonable formula. And I actually appreciate the fact that you've come up with sort of meeting everybody halfway and the alternative number three. So I'm not going to go into my debate from last time, but I'm going to make a motion to on alternative three.
Okay.
Second.
Is motion? Second. Who was that? I didn't hear. Thank you. Commissioner Pruszynski seconded. Okay. Thank you. Then we have motion. We'll continue with discussion. Commissioner Weiner.
Thank you. Scott Weiner from San Francisco. First, I want to thank both the, I guess it was at the committee level and also staff for this was continued at one point after the original proposal came out, and there has been significant dialogue and analysis. I'm very appreciative for the time and effort that everyone put in. Just to back up and talk about sort of what happened here, just in for those who may not have been in all the committee discussions. The original year, the TPI, the transition year, which was based on ridership, the SFMTA received approximately 45% of that funding, since Muni carries 45% of the trips or the ridership in the region. The original proposal that was put out, which was alternative number one, reduced the MTA's allotment to 27%, which was approximately a 40% reduction. No other operator in the region was even vaguely impacted to that extent. And to be clear, we're not MTA, San Francisco, we're not arguing that we should have 45%, just thought that a 40% reduction was rather dramatic. So then alternative two came forward, which put MTA at about 32.5%, which is, of course, still a 25% reduction from last year's allotment, but that was something that we thought we could live with. And in my view, that was the compromise. Staff has now come forward with yet another alternative that reduces us from that. While I very much appreciate staff taking the time to put numerous options before the commission, and that's your job, and you do it well. I don't think that alternative three is the right choice. I think alternative two, we're already taking 25% cut from last year. We're willing to accept that, and I do think that alternative two is the best way to proceed. And just in terms of big picture. TPI, yes, is intended to reward performance enhancements on our systems, including increasing ridership. Of course, because of San Francisco being a very transit-heavy city, we have high ridership. It's hard to achieve significant increases. But what I will say is that we... we're at risk of reverse productivity because of the system's inability to carry even current demands, let alone future demands. We're at risk of losing ridership because the system is straining and groaning and is reducing in reliability. So I'd like to make, I don't know if it would be an alternative motion or a substitute motion, to move alternative number two.
Okay, so I'm gonna first of all, before I take that, I'm gonna look to our council, and so we will take, I guess, procedurally, we take the substitute motion. So you're making a substitute motion. Okay, is there a second for the substitute? Yes. Okay, Commissioner Campos. Then, if you mind, we will continue discussion, and we will take that motion, that substitute motion, first when we complete discussion. We also have a public comment also that we'll take. Okay, Commissioner Bates.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I was just going to say that I appreciate San Francisco's position. Under alternative one, they take a fairly substantial reduction. Actually, under alternative three, they do much better than they do, obviously, under the original number one. And I'm cognizant of the fact that they're a major, a major provider of transportation in our region and need to be recognized for such. But I do support alternative three, and I look forward to hearing a public comment, actually, before I actually make a determination precisely how I'm going to vote.
Okay. Are there any other questions? All right. Then I would love to – excuse me. Commissioner Kinsey and then Commissioner Kwan, and reminding us that we have a public comment, too.
Very good. My question is very brief. It has to do with a unique situation in our county where our local transit agency has been under Golden Gate Transit as a large provider. They are now federally eligible as an FTA recipient. I think this year that wasn't going to be reconciled, but could you just repeat how that procedure is going to be resolved in the year ahead?
Stand by.
Sorry, yeah, I could take it offline.
Your question, are they in the small operator pool?
They're in the large operator pool for this year, but they're going to move into the small operator pool, and the question would be, how does that handle it? And I, given the time, I'd be happy to
talk offline. Adopt the small operator policy for... Yeah.
Do you have...
We did.
Previously. So if you're willing to take it offline, that might be easier.
That'd be fine with me.
Okay, so it sounds like that's also an answer.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, great. Commissioner Kwan.
Thank you. I understand San Francisco's position, However, I do think this is a chance at performance fund, and also that the other regions of the Bay Area, quite frankly, have not done as well as San Francisco economic and don't have as many alternative sources of transportation. So this is one of their few chances to get upgrades and to get more funding. So I think that I would have preferred alternative one, but I can live with alternative three. I'm willing to vote for that. And I want to thank you for trying to put the funds together. I don't think it quite gets me to where I wanted to be to understand collectively where all the different funds are and how the regions do. So I want to sit down and get tutored more on that. But this is one of the few opportunities for people who have less transportation alternatives and less chances to get additional funding to get that funding. So I'll support the chair's motion.
Thanks. Thank you, Commissioner Kwan. I'd like now to turn to public comment, and I have one speaker, Chris Andishak. Thank you.
Hello, members of the commission. I'm Chris Andishak with AC Transit. AC Transit would like to speak in favor of option.
Do you mind speaking up a little bit? We're having difficulty hearing you.
Sorry, a little bit of a cold going on here. My name is Chris Andrichak. I'm representing AC Transit. Members of the commission, we'd like to speak in favor of option one and the 25-25-50 split formula. The funding distribution will help with needed funding for AC Transit and also VTA and Caltrain, and the provision of needed regional services that benefit the whole Bay Area, including AC Transit's transbay services into San Francisco. We feel that option one is in line with the goals of the TPI, which distribute funds based on performance improvements. Option two and to some degree option three, as was mentioned, reward agencies more based on overall ridership but not in performance, which should be a goal for the whole region. Under option one, 50% of that formula, as you see in the tables, will be based on improved performance, productivity, and ridership growth. Under the MTC's Transit Sustainability Project, there are recommendations to improve transit performance with capital projects such as AC Transit's Line 51 Performance Improvement Project and other capital and operating improvements through the Inner East Bay Comprehensive Operations Analysis. And because option one is we feel, most in line with the TPI, that's what we would like to support.
Thank you very much. I don't have any other speaker cards. Are there any other members of the public that would like to comment on this item? I just have two for public comment at the end. Okay. Whoever would like to speak, there was one other member of the public that would like to speak on this particular item. No. Okay. Thank you. I want to make sure we get everyone. Thank you. Then we will go back then. Is there any further comments? Commissioner Campos and then Commissioner Weiner.
Thank you. I'll be very brief. I do want to thank staff for going back and trying to come up with alternatives. And I certainly appreciate all the comments from my colleagues. I still believe that in the context of what we did last year, that alternative two makes sense. I do think that alternative two for San Francisco remains a pretty big compromise. It is a significant reduction, and I understand the importance of rewarding performance, but it's not just performance going forward, it's the performance that's happening now. And so I think that alternative two strikes that balance. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Weiner, and then Commissioner Halstead.
Thank you. You know, I just to be clear, this really is not, from our perspective, a way to, for San Francisco to try to grab as much money as we can. Had we been doing that, we would have been advocating to stay at the 44.5%. And, I've been very, very supportive of, and I know we all are, we support projects in different counties throughout the region. I've been supportive of, as have we all, of AC Transit, of Caltrain electrification, of projects in San Jose. I was supportive of the 15% for the small, set aside for the small operators, which is above their ridership, because I think it is important for us to be supporting transit throughout the Bay Area. And in addition, I and others from San Francisco have voted for formulas that have come before us based on nighttime population, in response to Mayor Kwan's comment, there, when we do nighttime population allocations, which we do regularly on this commission, San Francisco gets 12%. Because our nighttime population is 12%. Alameda County gets significantly higher than that because it has a much larger nighttime population. I've supported that. So this isn't just about, you know, we're going to always try to grab as much money as we can. It's about working together as a region. And I think alternative two was that accommodation, saying we're not going to get the full 45%, but the 27% was too low. And to then come back and say, well, instead of that, we're actually going to knock you off a few more percent with option three. I just don't think that that's the best way for us to move forward.
Thank you. Commissioner Weider. Commissioner Halstead?
Just briefly, also speaking as a San Franciscan, in addition to BCDC, just want to point out that the San Francisco Muni provides regional services to many of the other large operators, so that many of your people coming from other counties need to connect with Muni, and we cannot really afford to diminish the service we provide. We do need to look to improvements constantly and improvements in our system, so I hope that you might support alternative three as a more modest reduction. Two, I'm sorry, as a more modest reduction of our allocation.
Okay, great. Thank you, Commissioner Halstead. Commissioner Tissier?
Just one last comment. I mean, I understand San Francisco's concerns and problems. The problem is, for me, is, you know, it's supposed to be an incentive program. So if you're not incentivizing others to increase passengers or passengers per hour, we've already talked about, we didn't take into consideration miles traveled. Well, for a lot of us, our agencies travel significant miles, but we're not getting any credit for that. And we, too, feed into other systems. So I do feel that staff did a good job in trying to find that balance by perhaps not including the miles traveled, but at the same time finding sort of a happy medium between alternatives number one and number two. So therefore, I won't support alternative number two, but if it comes back with the original motion, I will support alternative number three.
Thank you. Commissioner Liccardo.
Thank you. I just had a couple questions. I'm sorry I didn't benefit from the discussion at the last hearing. I was absent. But when we approved this, and I'm looking at Resolution 4072, when the board originally approved this, were the funding allocation formulas part of the approval, or was that to be determined by staff at the time? I don't know when that was, a couple years ago?
Commissioner, you did it in two steps, and if you may recall, it was sort of wrapped up with the student, you know, the youth pass
yes.
stuff too.
We call that discussion.
And so you adopted a program, and you adopted a transition year, and that allowed some money to flow, and it allowed I think those communities that wanted to move forward on a youth pass to do so, including yours.
Right.
And then we said we would come back with options for the long-term formula, and that's where we are now.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I know you answered my question, Steve, but I was hoping for something a little more direct. Were the numbers, you know, 25, 25, 50 part of what we approved?
No.
Okay. So it was definitely on the table.
The transition year was, as it was titled, it was supposed to be a transition, but obviously, as Commissioner Weiner points out, it's sort of where everybody started.
Right.
And one thing that people do when they look at numbers is they compare. And
right.
So that's the comparison being made.
And I know none of us have looked at our own counties to see how our numbers are affected by the formula. I guess I had a question about San Francisco's situation, because I am very sympathetic. Obviously, Muni is carrying a very heavy load for transit and in this region. But understanding the problems, which I've traditionally understood to be really around capital replacement and maintenance of an aging system, you know, I see this money as operating, and I'm just trying to understand. I can take a hint. I'll end my question now. No, what is the confining factor for Muni in terms of being able to drive ridership. I recognize you guys already have high ridership because you have land uses that support high ridership, and that's great, and Muni's doing a great job, but what would it take for Muni to be able to get the kind of ridership increase that, say, AC Transit gets with their proposed improvements?
I think it's always a combination of operating and capital, and I think maintenance is sort of in that gray area. Maintenance is part of your operating budget, but lack of maintenance becomes a capital issue if you're not properly funding maintenance, because it becomes a capital need. And so I think my understanding of the TPI is it's not capital in the sense of, I don't know, the building new systems, but it's a way of improving the performance and the reliability of your system and getting more ridership on it as a result. And when you're already at a high number, we want to go higher and higher. But even if Muni were to expand its ridership, you know, by 100,000 people a day, because you're starting at a high number, it's going to, it's a lower percentage increase. It's harder for us. But I want to stress, it's also about not declining, because if you're not operating properly, for lack of funding or whatever other reason, you will start losing ridership. And I think that is part of this as well, in terms of the broad goal of enhancing ridership, but also preserving the ridership that you have.
If each we could address the comments to the chair, and rather than have a cross discussion,
okay.
If you'd like to follow up any other questions.
I appreciate the point. I guess then the question, Steve, my understanding is that the scoring is based on an absolute number of passengers, not on percentage increase of ridership. Is that right?
Well, Commissioner, the various options have different weighting based on three different factors. One of them is total passengers.
Right.
A second and third, though, are based on change, annual passenger increase,
right,
and annual passenger per hour increase.
And those are absolute numbers, though, as I see it, not percentages, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, I guess it goes to this question about whether or not Muni is adversely impacted by having
a lower base. If I could try an analogy, sometimes they help. The Bay Area has a harder time achieving our greenhouse gas reduction target per capita because we're already at a lower level than San Diego or Sacramento.
Right.
I think Muni's big challenge is it's got this huge base. I mean, its ridership is so large, it's almost ubiquitous in San Francisco, that moving that base is very difficult. And I think Commissioner Wiener's right that it's a big job to avoid losing from that level of ridership. Whereas a smaller system or a newer system, it's just easier to grow.
I do agree with that point, but that would be if we were basing increases on percentage terms. But my understanding is the increase is based on absolute numbers of passengers. That's what I'm reading. So the question is, the goal is to try to get more people into seats on buses. And if you're measuring it in terms of absolute numbers, then the size of your base shouldn't matter, theoretically.
Yeah, I think maybe yes and no. I mean, if you want to look at the world as a place where there are potential transit passengers and there are those who will never in a million years do it no matter what you do, you know, Muni has probably saturated the market a lot more than other areas in the region. So I do think it is the case that for an operator that has achieved the level of ridership that Muni has, it is harder to go up, perhaps, than for others.
Agreed.
You know, Commissioner Tissier is mentioning Caltrain. Caltrain is almost all choice riders. And so as that highway gets worse on 101, you know, Caltrain's going to keep looking better and better.
Yeah, and the point's well taken. I guess I'll just finish with this. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I've been torn on this issue because I do recognize that Muni carries a very heavy load. You know, I also recognize that this is a small pot of money relative to, say, for instance, you know, SDA money, which is allocated based on revenue, whereas this is really focused on incentivizing more butts in seats, for lack of a better term. And if that's our goal, that is what has me torn. And so anyway, I appreciate this is not a money grab by San Francisco. I don't see it that way. You know, I think there's There is a, yes, that's true. It is a loss. And so I appreciate that they're challenging conflicts here.
Okay. I know we have one more comment, but I just wanted to draw the Commission's attention. There was a question, Commissioner Licardo, you asked, is how does this impact the different systems? And if you look at Attachment C, staff has expanded the analysis to include all three alternatives. So that's here. So good. Commissioner Kwan.
I'm just, again, I knew I wasn't here when this was originally established, but again, maybe it's just because I'm on the East Bay and I realize we have so many differences just even within our own county. It is a small amount of money, but it's not, it may be small for Oakland and San Francisco and San Jose, but it's not as small for some of the other local cities. And if that, it, when AC Transit cuts, it sometimes cuts whole cities and whole communities out. And I'm just saying San Francisco, and they need this money to expand. And this is also where we drive cars more. So the whole idea is to build better infrastructure in the outlying areas that can then eventually feed in to San Francisco or all the other big mini or the big rail or BART systems. And so this is critical. If we're going to, quite frankly, if they're successful in getting more people to BART, then you're going to see more ridership in San Francisco eventually, because still a large part of the jobs in the region are in San Francisco, although San Jose and Oakland will keep fighting for our share of them. But I just think this is a fair compromise. Like I said, I would support the original one that staff came up with. And it's not that much money, but it is a clear commitment for us to help build public transportation in those areas that don't have it or where it's very weak.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Kwan. Commissioner Cortese?
Since we're on the motion, I just want to say I'm going to support the substitute motion. And I think there actually are some good analogies in my mind, which would probably be a little bit more like some of the major league sports teams back and forth across the bay. One is at capacity, and if you told them that they were basically going to be penalized because they can't grow capacity as quickly as somebody on the other side of the bay, you know, that wouldn't be fair. And that's how this has been explained to me by the San Francisco folks all along. And I think if they're willing to accept a compromise position, which isn't everything they want, it inflicts a little bit of pain, I'm willing to support that. Thank you.
Okay, so I guess there's alternative two or three.
Motion.
So you're supporting
substitute motion is alternative two, as I understand.
Okay. All right, so then moving back to the commission with no further discussion, we have a substitute motion on the
Madam Chair,
the floor.
Yeah, I did want to make...
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. Commissioner Przinski, I had your name down. Apologize.
I understood.
Yes. Thank you.
Unlike Commissioner Licardo, I did look at the numbers for our county, and the numbers are irrelevant for Santa Clara County. I mean, it's basically zero gain, zero loss. But I am concerned about Caltrain, and the Caltrain impact. To me, our county folks use Caltrain as a very significant transportation mode. And if you look at alternative two, Caltrain takes a really heavy hit. And I think that with all due respect to the San Francisco argument and to the fact that San Francisco is making a very cogent statement regarding the impacts that would be directed towards... So it's their agency. I think the numbers need to be addressed rather than just the percentages. And if you see those numbers down the line, I think, frankly, alternative three, which was the original motion, is the alternative that best serves all of our agencies without having as significant an impact on any of the agencies. So even though I appreciate the argument, I will not be supporting the substitute motion, and I would recommend that we support the staff's alternative three.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Weiner?
Yeah, and specifically with respect to Caltrain, and I'm a huge supporter of Caltrain in general, but also I have many constituents who rely on Caltrain, so Caltrain is very much a multi-county institution. As I understand it, Caltrain has 2.6% of ridership, so during the transition year, received 2.6% of the funding. Under any of the alternatives, it receives somewhere, that we're considering, it receives somewhere between 3 and 5 times what it received last year. So Caltrain, even under the worst case scenario, is receiving almost 3 times as much money as it did during the transition year.
Thank you. Okay, then we have a motion on the table, substitute motion, which calls for the resolution, approval of resolution number 4072, including alternative 2. So that was made by Commissioner Weiner and seconded by Commissioner Campos. So may we please have a roll call vote?
Chair Worth?
No.
Vice Chair Cortese?
Aye.
Commissioner Aguirre?
No.
Commissioner Bates?
No.
Commissioner Campos?
Aye.
Commissioner Dodd?
Yes.
Commissioner Glover?
Yes.
Commissioner Haggerty is has left the room. Commissioner Halstead?
Yes.
Commissioner Kinsey?
Yes.
Commissioner Licardo?
Yes.
Commissioner Luz?
Yes.
Commissioner McKenzie?
Yes.
Commissioner Persinski?
No.
Commissioner Kwan?
No.
Commissioner Spearing?
Yes.
Commissioner TCA?
No.
Commissioner Winner?
Yes.
All right, can we?
5 no's. So commission, the motion, the substitute motion with alternative 2 fails. Or passes. My apologies.
Sorry. Okay. So could you, thank you. For the record, could you please, for the record, could you please indicate the number of yeses and noes so we can, right.
11. 11 yes, 5 no's.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Six no's.
Okay, so the final vote is 11 yes, 6 no, so the substitute motion passes. Great, thank you. Let's move on then to the Operations Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. After all that excitement, I'm pleased to note that we have one item before you today. MTC Resolution 4040 revised amends the Clipper privacy policy to reduce the period for which the Clipper program retains personally identifiable information from 7 years to 4 years and 6 months. The Fast Track privacy policy already specifies that time as the data retention period for that program, so the recommended action will align the two programs, and I'm told by Mr. Rentschler that the Boca Negra legislation, which we opposed unless amended, has been amended to fit in with what we are proposing in this resolution. And since I had not conferred with staff on this particular item, I'm staring across the space here. Am I correct in so saying?
Yes, I see it.
Yes.
I hear yes.
Yeah. Okay. We've done a cross-check, okay. Madam Chair.
Okay.
What I said was correct.
All right.
And I move approval of MTC Resolution 4040 revised.
Okay. And there's a second by Commissioner Halstead. Thank you very much. Is there any public comment? I have no speaker cards, and I'll bring it back to the commission. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That item is carried, is passed unanimously. We have completed the legislation committee. I just, again, back on the Clipper card, I really want to thank staff for your hard work on this policy as well as on the ongoing legislation. So we had a very extensive report at our committee meeting and want to thank you for your hard work on this. Our final item, item 10, we have public comment. I have two speaker cards. Our first speaker is Jane Kramer, and she will be followed by Evelyn Stivers.
Jane Kramer, a perspective.
Do you mind speaking a little bit louder into the microphone so we can catch you?
Okay, is that better?
Yes, thank
okay.
you.
Jane Kramer. A perspective on fertility as a bottom line criterion for community and transportation building. A human being is birthed, so what now? Every culture, whether it survives or not, is sensitive to the carrying capacity of its resources in terms of developing the human capacity of its members. But SB 375 explicitly chooses to ignore this fact and instead sets detailed policy do's and don'ts for meeting the transportation and housing needs of an assumed population expansion that regional and local agencies are not at all sure they can meet. These agencies are instead now saying that transportation and its implementation will be defined in terms of sustainable and resilient communities that incorporate preventive health care systems, healthy locally produced food, affordable housing, local transportation and mobility, and so on. Said another way, a reduction in the fertility rate is a bottom line criterion for such a high for such a high quality of life. No one wants throwaway persons. And said another way, the goal is not to gentrify communities on a keeping up with the Joneses basis, but rather to make healthy living the basis for a prospering community life with far less waste of resources and, above all, of persons. Living well and in comfort, not indulgence, is the outlook and goal. Different, but doable. Many already hold the skills and knowledges, both in broad daylight and in nooks and crannies. So, let a newborn's first breath of life flourish in communities that take upon themselves the initiative and the know-how for renewal. It's up to
thank
you.
Thank you very much. Now. Thank you very much for your comments. Evelyn Stivers, and she will be followed by Jerry Grace.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to speak. My name is Evelyn Stivers. I work with the Nonprofit Housing Association of Northern California. And I didn't know exactly where I fit in on the agenda. I don't think I do. This commission has taken a position in favor of AB 574, and that's the bill that's being authored by the chair of the Transportation Assembly Committee, and it is designed to allocate the cap and trade revenues. It's great. I was wondering if it would be possible for this commission to offer a friendly amendment to that bill, advocating right now the money is being limited just to transportation uses. And this commission voted last year in their platform to include all SCS implementation. It would provide the commission with more flexibility and the ability to do all the great things that you do. I think it could inspire other regions in the state of California to develop TOA funds and do other innovative projects that we always lead the way in. So that's my request, and I know you can't talk about it, but that's I wasn't really sure where to bring it up. And thank you for your support of SB 391.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for your comments, Evie. And our next and final public comment is Jerry Grace.
This is a very quick question I wanted to know. I wanted to know... I think everybody needs to know this, or maybe most of the people will know about the Clipper card. And I wonder what is going on with other bus company, and they did not have yet. I know five others, Oakland, Caltrain, San Jose, AC Transit, Bart already have theirs already. Other people I'm talking about, Wells and East Side, CC County, we want to update information, what is going on with the Clipper card and what is going on at this point right now.
Great.
And I don't know, not today, but sometime down the road. I asked the staff to check on that and check tell us back to us what happened on that.
Great. Thank you, Jerry. I know members of the public are very anxious to get Clipper Card, and so we'll come back, bring that back to the committees in the coming months with an update. So on that particular item about completing the Clipper for the other transit properties. All right, with that, we have no further comment, and I would like to adjourn the commission meeting until our next meeting, which is Wednesday, May 22nd. Thank you. We have a meeting following.